Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, we can sing this song. Don't get mad, I don't mean no harm. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I mean your little poodle dog. Yeah, that little fool got a long shaggy tail. While I tried to buy him, but he wasn't for sale. Can I play with school? Can I play with school? I want to play with school. I mean your little poodle dog. Down in town with my hand in my hand, I was looking for a woman, didn't have no man. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I mean a little poodle dog.
How's it going, everybody? Chris Block here, Puck Chatter Radio, here on blogtalkradio.com. Saturday afternoon, special edition, July the 14th, 2012. 2:31 here in Chicago. It looks like rain. I'm quite enjoying that, Brad Gardner. Brad Gardner on the line. Let me introduce him. He is a contributor on the thirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com. Also, the Blackhawks writer, follows the prospects, not just the Rockford IceHogs, but the entire organization, writes about that, the Blackhawks prospects, on hockeysfuture.com. He is Brad Gardner. How you doing, Brad?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
No problem, Brad Gardner back on the show. But yes, it looks like rain. You should see the scene I've got going on over here. I've been like a modern day like Johnny Green Thumb lately, trying to restore my
rain. Yeah. Perfect then.
Yeah, trying to restore my back garden, and I don't really care about the front. I don't go in the front, but I spent a lot of time. Although. Apparently, a lot of things like my backyard. I was out very early this morning / late last night with my dog, and my dog found a baby squirrel, like a newborn baby squirrel, and that squirrel is now dead. So me and Ritsu are going to the vet pretty soon. Just added to the list of what we've got going on. On the show, the reason why I have Brad on. Is Blackhawks just wrapped up prospect camp out of Johnny's Ice House West over there on Madison. And I unfortunately was not able to make it. I tried, but the stars weren't aligned this week. But Brad Gardner was there, and we're going to talk to him about that. Before we get into that, though, I do want to mention the date, July 14th. Today is two things. 3 years to the date of our first show, when it used to be the Third Man In Radio, now it's Puck Chatter Radio. I love to confuse everybody. So it's 3 years. So, congratulations to me. And it's also 3 years to the date that Dale Talon was reassigned / made to go away, and Stan Bowman was promoted to general manager. Brad, how are you feeling about Stan Bowman's 3 years as general manager?
It's hard to believe that it's been that long already, honestly. We don't have a whole lot to grade him on, I guess, but he's still clinging to that Nick Leddy trade, I think, is his best deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was really Norm McIver's deal, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's, the one thing that you have to give Stan credit for and you can't take away from him is no matter what you think about or the realities of who built the team, that won the Stanley Cup in 2010. That was Dale Talon's team. You got to give Stan credit for at least not screwing it up. And I don't mean that, as derogatory. He does deserve credit for maintaining a roster and maintaining a team that did win the Cup, even if he didn't assemble it on his own. I mean, of course, he was a part of the regime and he had a hand in it. But you have to give him a little bit of credit for that. But draft-wise, it's looking good, but as I mentioned last week, that's still Dale Talon's scouting staff, pretty much aside from a couple of guys. a few guys.
And they should have a lot of prospects, as many times they've been picking in the first, second, third round the past few years, too.
Yeah, yeah. And so we'll see how that works out. But about prospect camp, and again, I wasn't there, and I really haven't had a whole lot of time to go through what's going on. I know the major points, and we're going to get into those in just a second. But the biggest story to me, the biggest story that no one is talking about, and apparently no one asked a question about this week, which is kind of annoying, Stephen Johns, who is a big defenseman at Notre Dame, heading into his junior season. The Blackhawks picked him in the second round back in 2010. Is that correct? Yeah, 2010.
Yeah.
Second round. 6'3", 220, 225 nowadays. American kid out of Pennsylvania, again, plays at Notre Dame. Stephen Johns chose not to come to prospect camp. His choice. Didn't come. To me, this is the story. I mean, when we talk about players in the system and what we see on as far as the Blackhawks defense and what they're missing and kind of pieces and the embodiment of their defense and not needing guys that are a little bit bigger, tougher to play against. Stephen Johns is that guy. We've always, we're looking at it and we look at that prospect depth chart and saying, well, Stephen Johns, when he gets here, he's kind of in that. He's basically a spitting image of Brent Seabrook, maybe a little bit nastier. Although Seabrook's pretty, quietly nasty on his own. You kind of always just say, well, Stephen Johns is going to be here one day. I don't think Stephen Johns is coming. It's a huge decision on his part. All of these guys that were just here at Johnny's this past week, if you're serious, I mean, there's not a one guy that's a draft pick that was eligible to be at this camp. Because again, if you've turned pro, you can't play in that camp. But all of these guys, if you are serious about potentially being a future Chicago Blackhawk, you're at this camp. And for whatever reason, and I don't know, I've asked around and I haven't gotten an answer on it. No one's talking about this. He chose not to come. Now, I was talking to somebody, it was a fan, that had said, well, Stephen Johns is working at the Notre Dame Hockey School back in South Bend this week. Okay. But Notre Dame runs three hockey camps, 3 week-long hockey camps successively in a row over the summer. Stephen Johns chose to work the hockey camp over coming to Blackhawks prospect camp. I think this is a huge story. Huge story that, this is a kid who once he decides to leave college, which could be after his junior season, once he makes that decision, the Blackhawks essentially have a month or so after the season ends to sign him. I mean, we just saw what happened with Justin Schultz. So is Stephen Johns, and again, I don't know the whole story, but is Stephen Johns basically thinking right now that maybe this isn't a fit for him, maybe he doesn't see himself as a Blackhawk, and he's just, he's setting the stage for, hey, I'm not coming. It's a huge story, and I can't believe no one asked that question this week. I just can't believe it. Stephen, you've watched Stephen Johns play. I mean, this is the kid that you would think in 2-3 years down the road is providing that back-end stability, a tough guy to play against, penalty kill, a little bit of power play, he's got a big shot. This is a kid, Stephen Johns, when he was a freshman, was paired with Joe Lavin, who was the Ice Hogs Rookie of the Year last year. Joe Lavin may be a half season to a season away from being in a Blackhawks uniform. They really like Joe Lavin, and Stephen Johns, as a freshman, was getting huge minutes on Notre Dame, on a good Notre Dame team, a really good Notre Dame team. It's a huge story, and I can't believe no one's talking about it.
Yeah, you said it, Chris. It's a big loss for the system just because no one else really brings what he does to the table. Michael Pagliotta maybe comes close, but he's nowhere near as physical as Johns, and that's exactly what everybody's been harping on the Hawks for not having. So it is a big loss if in fact he is going to be looking elsewhere, which he can do as soon as next summer, right? Schultz left after his junior year. So I think that would be up to Jones if he did choose to leave Notre Dame and doesn't get signed by the Hawks right away, then he might be looking at a free agent contract as well. And I'm sure plenty of teams will be lining up to bring in a prospect of his size and his physical nature.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, nothing's official. We're speculating that this could be a precursor. This could be an indicator to John's future or non-future with the Blackhawks. I have to believe the Blackhawks are just miffed as to why this kid didn't come. I mean, he's eligible to come. He's just in South Bend. It's not like he's coming from Russia. He's in South Bend. You know, and he just decides not to come.
I don't remember any college prospects skipping out on prospect camps as long as I've been attending, especially somebody that's as well thought of in the organization and outside of it too.
Yeah, and it's not an injury, and even if it was an injury, you had Dylan Fournier came. He's injured. He couldn't participate, but he came anyway. I mean, if you're serious about it, you show up.
Yeah, it's. It's a scary thought to think that they might be losing some of that since the blue line's already kind of fallen behind the forward group in terms of organizational depth. So that's just one more guy that might be falling off the wayside.
All right, let's transition then into the prospect camp. And headlines basically say that it was Brandon Saad and Teuvo Teravainen that lit up the camp and were basically a cut above the rest. Would you, being that you were there, you witnessed a most of the camp? Were you there all 4 of the 5 days or all 5 days?
I made it all 5 days. I didn't stick around for the third period Thursday, but otherwise I was there standing up on one of the standers in the back row.
Okay. Would you agree with that then? Teravainen and Saad above the rest or
yeah, absolutely. And I would probably throw Philip Deneau in there too. Saad was probably unsurprisingly the best player. I think everybody kind of expected him after what he did last season to come in and outclass everybody else. But he had a great Friday scrimmage. He had 2 goals, I think. One of them was on a breakaway, and he gave Matt Tompkins, one of the 7th-round draft picks from last summer, or this summer, I'm sorry. He deked him out of his pads, got the crowd going a little bit. Saad lined up at center, which I thought was interesting. So we have another guy, and we'll have his name thrown around in the second-line center equation. But I think eventually he's just going to line up at wing like he did last year.
We should point out that according to the Blackhawks, according to Stan Bowman, it was Brandon Saad who asked to play center at the camp, which to me – just sort of kind of reading the situation, seems like that was a suggestion made by his agent.
right.
To say, hey, when you get there, say, hey, oh, yeah, Brandon Saad's not a center. Like you said, he's going to end up at left wing. That's where he belongs. We should just make that point. Go ahead.
Teravainen also lined up at center. I think he switched midway through last season or maybe mixed a little bit of left wing and center when he was playing overseas. But he lined up at center all week. And Mark McNeil, I don't know if you saw the video on the Hawks website, compared his skating to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, which is pretty high praise coming from a Western Hockey League guy. But Teravainen, I'm sure people saw on the Blackhawks website all the highlight reel plays that he made. He had one drive through the entire defense and dropped it off to Shilyunov for the goal. Teravainen's not very big yet, so they're expecting him to go back overseas next season at a little bulk. But from the way that Stan was talking about him, it looks like they might try to bring him over maybe in 2 years, and maybe that's a little optimistic. But it definitely sounded like they were impressed with his showing.
Yeah, Teravainen was a kid that he kind of he fell into their lap there. They didn't expect him to be there. A ton of skill, but the reason many have speculated why he fell to the Blackhawks at 18 was because not only just the size. I mean, at 18 years old, the kid's going to get bigger. I mean, we can presume that. But that he was a perimeter player. From what you saw, is this a kid that'll go into the corners or get to the front of the net? I mean, not stand in front of the net, but go to the net to win a puck.
He did strike me predominantly as a perimeter player early on, but I thought later in the week he was showing a little more aggressiveness in the slot rather than just kind of staying along the boards. And when he played with Shalyunov the first day or two, they played along with a free agent from overseas as well. It was Teravainen that was getting into the corners and digging out pucks, and obviously is getting out muscled on occasion, but just the willingness to go into the corners I thought was a good indication based on those weaknesses that you brought up.
And how did Philip Deneau look? I've on the show many times relayed, you know, what I was able to see of Philip Deneau in Rockford the last couple of weeks of the season. I was very impressed by him. And I just know that he's a guy that they kind of downplayed it. They didn't really hint at this much at this prospect camp. But he's a guy that's I wouldn't rule him out making the team this year. How did Deneau look this week?
I think he's just built on what he did in Rockford last year, which is kind of scary. But he skates like the wind. He's the hardest worker. His feet do not stop moving at all. He's good defensively and still able to make plenty of plays with the puck. He's a good passer. He can use that speed really well to create passing lanes. I was really impressed with him, and that's another guy who lined up at center, but he can play all three forward positions, so he's got some versatility there as well.
Yeah, I think Deneau is a center. Just as you alluded to right there, just how much ice this kid covers,
yeah.
You know, every single shift. He's a center, and he's exactly the kind of center the Blackhawks like. In most teams now in the modern day NHL, you know, he plays 200 feet all over the rink. He's in the corners. He's end board to end board, all over the place. Hounds the puck, has an endless motor, and I'm very impressed by him. And good to hear that he is building on that, because there were issues with him in Rockford, you know, but it was mostly centered around his stick work and that he was getting too many stick penalties. But that's something he'll learn. And I think that's also a byproduct of, and I know I was reading some comments that Deneau had that, you know, the biggest thing for him to adjust from coming from the Q into the AHL was that how much stronger guys are, specifically, you know, working in the corners. And I think maybe that's where some of that stick work came from. But, he's really close. We would say, you know, Brandon Saad, Deneau, Teravainen, and was it those three guys? I mean, was that a clearly defined tier? Is anybody else with those guys? Or maybe, like, what would you say are the next tier of guys, prospects from this week?
I would separate those three just based on the fact that they put it together for the entire week. My next tier guys, like Mark McNeil, Adam Clendenning, the Broadhurst brothers, those guys had their moments, but also struggled in some of the scrimmages. They didn't really have as complete a week as I think the top tier guys did.
I want to get into McNeil in a second, but Alex Broadhurst is an interesting kid, and Terry, we got to see a little bit of Terry's his older brother. Alex was, of course, going to be a freshman at Nebraska Omaha, and it looks like he's going to end up with the London Knights now instead, since Terry turned pro.
Situation.
Terry is a guy that he's very slight, but I mean, he can fly. It's just, you know, what are his other assets? And I think we'll find that out. Is Alex a spitting image of his brother? Or, you know, is he maybe a little bit more, have a few more tools than Terry appears to have?
I think Alex is a more complete player than Terry, even though he's several years younger. Alex showed a lot more confidence this week, I thought, than he did last year as a rookie or in his first prospect camp. He had several explosive offensive plays, had a few rushes. But he's, I think, going to project a little bit more as more of a two-way player than maybe his brother will in Rockford. And Alex is going to have a great opportunity next year, I think, with London. They're going to lose, I think, three of their top five scorers from last season, so he should have plenty of ice time next year to work on rounding out his game.
Mark McNeil, what we saw in Rockford, and you know, he clearly, when he got to Rockford, and Rockford was in the heat of a playoff push, and he came from the WHL where he hadn't really played a meaningful hockey game in months. His team was so far out of it. He wasn't quick enough. He wasn't thinking the game quick enough. How did he look this week? You know, in this group of guys, which obviously is a step below what he did play with in Rockford.
Yeah, he did not stand out offensively quite as much as the top tier guys that we discussed. But in terms of his puck possession skills, I think Mark McNeil is one of the best prospects in the system when it comes to, you know, controlling the puck, being patient with the puck and his stick, and making smart decisions. He can use his strength along the boards in front of the net, and he's got a good set of hands to go along with all of that stuff. He was looking for deflections in front of the net, trying to set his guys up, and I don't have his stats in front of me. I don't seem to remember him making any big plays for goals, but he certainly was around there for chances and a big reason why his line was able to keep the puck in the zone and keep possession.
You know, you sent me the lines from the first scrimmages, and McNeil play center all week?
He, I believe, switched to wing later. Let me check my notes. He did definitely start between the Broadhurst brothers, but I think by the end of the week he was back on right wing.
Okay. McNeil, last year in prospect camp, in which I was able to get out to a couple of sessions, he didn't stand out to me at all, you know. And again, 18-year-old kid just drafted, maybe nerves, but he didn't stand out at all in that camp. Can you maybe compare his showing last summer to where he's at now?
I would maybe just call it confidence. I think he was more willing to carry the puck as where last year he would maybe just try to get it off to the first play that he had. And this year it seemed like he was holding onto the puck a little bit more and moving around the zone with it and looking to open things up rather than just making the simple play. But I think I believe Mike Peck, the voice of the Ice Hogs, who you've had on the show, used the term burnt out last year in Rockford. So it was just kind of good to see him active again, I guess, and making some plays, even if he didn't look able to get on the score sheet so much.
The other thing with McNeil, I, at least in my view, just kind of sizing him up a summer ago to looking at it where he's at now, I mean, he's put on a lot of, you know, significant amount of muscle. He's really, his frame has really filled out over the last year. And, you know, considering that that's the type of player that he's trying to be or he's aiming to be, that's helped him significantly.
Yeah, and I think it's helped his skating, too. He's got that lower body strength that, like Taves has such a strong core, and McNeil's legs and his core are great. He's able to truly explode when he's skating and to get going a lot quicker.
Yeah, it was really disappointing to, you know, to watch him struggle in Rockford, just because, you know, it's first round draft pick. It was exciting to get a chance to see him, kind of gauge where he was at. And again, I kind of dismissed it. You know, his performance in Rockford, like you said, he was burnt out. He was thrust into a realm that he wasn't accustomed to. It's, you know, and you know, he struggled in that. But I still like him a lot as a prospect, and hopefully he's building that confidence, and you know, really looking forward to seeing what he, you know, what he brings and his performance in the, you know, the big training camp, because you know, a lot of these guys, you know, we see guys over the course of the years play real well in prospect camp, and then they don't do anything, you know, in the real camp. So,
right.
You know, I mean, you kind of take some of this with a grain of salt, but when guys really stand out above the rest, you know, that's something to take with you. Quinn Denning, we should talk about him because he's going to be playing in Rockford this year. Stan Bowman pumped him up pretty good the other day when he talked with the media. Your impressions of where Clint Denning stood this week?
For someone who's poised to go to the AHL, I thought he was a little quiet early in the week. But Friday, he had a great game. He had a goal, got one through traffic, and I think he had an assist or two on Friday. And a lot of that was just coming from pinching in offensively. He's a great passer, has great offensive instincts. Probably the best offensive defenseman at the camp this year, although there wasn't a lot of competition for that. I was impressed with the way that he handled the puck and his decisions that he made with the puck, which is going to be obviously a big difference for him next year in the AHL when everything's a little quicker for him.
That's, you know, the fact that he stood out on Friday. There's a couple different ways to look at that. Friday scrimmages at these prospect camps, I mean, these guys are doing more during the week than just skating in front of the crowd at Johnny's Ice House. I mean, they're doing a lot of off-ice work. There's a lot of physical evaluations going on. You know, this is wall-to-wall for these kids Monday through Friday. So by the time Friday scrimmage rolls around, especially in the latter periods of those scrimmages, the Friday scrimmages, these guys are spent. So the fact that Clint Denning stood out on Friday, I take that as an encouraging sign that this kid, you know, number one, is in shape, and two, mentally doesn't get fatigued. A lot of these guys are just exhausted, like Mark McNeil. Last year, watching him on Friday, I mean, he just looked like an undrafted college kid out there on that Friday, and I think a lot of that was just mental fatigue, you know, draining over the course of the week. And so that's encouraging. I'm excited to hear that, you know, Clint Denning looked that good on Friday, because that's important. That's important.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think everybody we've talked about, with the exception of Tavo so far, this is their second prospect game, so I don't think that should be discounted, that they've been through the washer before and they know what's going to happen, and they're prepared for the wind gate maybe early in the week, and they're not going to let that take everything out of their sails for the rest of the week.
I want to move into the 2012 draft class, but I want to start with the kid drafted in the fifth round, Garrett Ross. Garrett Ross, you know, this to me was a draft pick made specifically to try to replicate the reward that the team got by drafting Andrew Shaw last year in the fifth round. I mean, these guys are the same type of player. They butted heads in junior hockey, as I'm sure a lot of people have seen on YouTube and hockeyfights.com and all that. Last year at camp, at prospect camp, Andrew Shaw really stood out. And he was a kid that a lot of people were high on. And then I think once, you know, if going back, Andrew Shaw signed an AHL contract before last season. I think once he did that, I think that expectations sort of died, you know, dimmed on him a little bit, Andrew Shaw, you know, because I think people were like, they were excited about him, and they're like, oh, they just signed him to an AHL contract. So, like, the expectations went down a bit, and, you know, as soon as the season got rolling in Rockford, I mean, it took a couple of weeks, but all of a sudden, like, you just saw the kid was, he was a key, you know, he was a key part. Garrett Ross. Did he have a camp at all that sort of reminded you of Shaw? As a player, does he remind you of Shaw? What do we see out of Garrett Ross this week?
Yeah, as a player, I think he is plays a similar style to Shaw. I didn't see so much out of him this week that I'm expecting him to be a big producer in Rockford or anything. They're both tough physical players, and they're not afraid to drop the gloves. Ross did fight one of the camp invites, but that was still a bit of a far cry from Shaw Bloody and Dylan Olson, which is taken on mythic proportions pretty much. But Ross skated with Kevin Hayes a lot this week, so I thought they put him in a good position to put up some points. He just didn't really stand out to me as having the same skill set that Shaw has with the puck and just being a good positional player. Ross is definitely a tough customer, and I think the contract flexibility is a big help when it comes to these guys, that they can sign him to an AHL deal. They don't need to have him count against the 50 contract limit if they want to bring him in, but they can still play him in Rockford and get a feel for what he does.
Especially if
Brandon Bolig is in Chicago, then Rockford's going to need some of that.
Yeah, I think another aspect of why this Garrett Ross pick is sort of mirrored Andrew Shaw is that Garrett Ross was passed over in the draft two years in a row before eventually being picked by the Blackhawks, as was Andrew Shaw. So Garrett Ross is 20. He could go back to junior if he wanted to, but he could also end up in Rockford. Do you see him, playing and contributing? I mean, I know you kind of answered this question already, but do you think that he could play in Rockford right now?
I'm not sure if I'm comfortable saying that based on what I saw from him at prospect camp, and I don't mean that to slight him at all. It was the same case with Shaw last year. The production just is in a pretty small sample size, just one season, and that was his 20-year-old season when he was getting a bunch of ice time with Saginaw, playing with Brandon Saad on occasion, I think. So I'm not sure if he's going to be in Rockford playing second or third line minutes or anything, but I think on the fourth line he's going to be a guy like Shaw that's not going to hurt you, and he's still going to bring that physical presence to each shift, which is invaluable in the AHL, I think.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, Dylan Fournier was at camp, the defenseman the Blackhawks took 48th overall in the second round out of the queue, walking around in a walking cast on his right foot, I believe. And so he wasn't able to participate. But the third-round draft pick, Chris Kalanen, the nephew of Jeremy Roenick, how did he look, the big kid out of Massachusetts?
He, early in the week, was mentioned specifically in the video about their workouts and the physicals, just being somebody who did really well, which isn't surprising considering he was one of the better performers at the Combine, I guess. But he played with Kevin Hayes, I think, each day, so he had a little bit of, I guess they haven't played together, but they've got a connection in terms of their high school. They both played at Nobles Prep in Massachusetts. Kelman's also committed to BC in 2 years, so they might have a year together there. Kelman's a right-handed shot, seemed to catch up with the pace a little bit towards the end of the week, but I still didn't see a whole lot of skill from him. It looked like he was just kind of trailing the play at times and reacting rather than anticipating what was going to happen.
I don't know if you've got any indication. I would like to see Kalanen go to the USHL. I know he's got a year left of high school hockey. I don't see where that benefits him really at all. I'd like to see him go to the USHL for two reasons. One, level of competition, and two, like you said, he's committed to go to BC. I mean, this is a kid that I think it would benefit him to kind of leave the nest a bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Go out, play, hook up with a USHL team. So you're out, you're riding the buses, you're getting a little, you're experiencing that. I would be concerned to a certain extent if I was the Blackhawks, and they obviously like the kid a lot. I would be concerned that he plays his high school hockey at home, he plays his college hockey at home, and then all of a sudden he turns pro whenever that happens. For, whether it's 3, 4, 5 years from now, and all of a sudden it's this whole new world that he has to get adjusted to. I was talking to Ted Dent at the end of the season, and you know, he was mentioning just how hard it was for Rob Flick to adjust to being a pro hockey player. And it's not just what you deal with day to day as far as going to the rink. It was taking care of his own business, you know, paying the rent, paying, right. you know, paying his utility bill. And that's something he had roommates. He had help with that. And that was something that he had a hard time adjusting to. And I would like to see Kalden, you know, for level of competition, for growing as a player, but also having that experience of leaving home, which I would be concerned about that. I really would.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I have to assume that the Hawks are on the same page with you as well. His USHL rights are owned by Waterloo, so if he were to go there, he would be playing with Vincent Hinostroza, who we're going to talk about here in a few minutes.
Well, let's talk about him, the little kid out of Bartlett. he's a tiny guy. How did he look?
For his size, I thought he looked excellent. I was really impressed with him. In drills, he didn't really stand out too much. But he was built for the scrimmages. He's fearless on the forecheck. And he's got a long way to develop still, and he's going to have time. But he just hustles hard, and he works hard, and he knows where to go to score goals. It looked like he had some pretty good hands. Some of his passes weren't really on the mark, but it was a good idea where he was throwing the puck and trying to set his guys up. He may have been one of the leading scorers. I don't know if the Hawks compiled all the stats this week, but it seemed like he was getting a lot of assists and stuff going to the net and just trying to chip it in.
I don't know that it's fair to do this to the kid, but and this is kind of a generic comparison, but when you got a kid that's small, I think, and has those attributes, I think the natural comparison to make is Brian Gionta. I mean, is he that kind of a player, you know, a water bug that he's just slippery, you can't get your hands, you can't get your stick on him, and, you know, he's got enough skill to compete at a pro level? Do you I'm kind of getting ahead of ourselves here, but if he stood out at camp like that, maybe that's his potential.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting reading all the scouting reports and stuff about him right after the draft, that they were all kind of referring to how he could be a good college player and not even really considering his pro potential. So, I mean, prefacing it by saying he's got a ways to go, you know, I think he definitely does have the hard-nosed attitude that it would take for a player like that to take that beating around the net, and he did seem to have the skill that would give him that opportunity as well.
The last guy out of that 2012 draft class, and we'll get to the goalies in a second, Travis Brown, which is the pick the Blackhawks picked up from the Rangers for John Scott. Kid to keep an eye on. Impressive sort of, you know, the scouting reports I've read on him. He's encouraging type of defenseman of the Blackhawks, you know, as we were talking about before, looking for the attributes, you know, a little bit nasty, you know, plays big. Is that what he showed in camp?
I didn't see so much of the physical game from him as I was expecting. He does have pretty good size. He's, I think, listed at 6'1". And I thought he was pretty steady at both ends, but I didn't really see anything outstanding from him yet. But he's pretty mobile for being a big player, and he's going to have an opportunity, I think, next year to keep working on his game. And he might not have such a big offensive role next year. They're going to have Morgan Riley back from injury, who will take a lot of his power play opportunities away maybe, but I think Brown's a pretty steady guy, and at both ends of the ice, if he can contribute, then I think he's definitely got a good chance at getting signed to a pro contract in a couple of years.
Well, you mentioned before that Matt Tompkins had a little bit of trouble defending Brandon Saad. How was the rest of his week in Brandon Whitney, the 6'5 goalie out of Victoriaville? How'd those kids look?
Tompkins, I thought, struggled a little bit, and that's probably not surprising. He is the goalie coming in that has faced the weakest level of competition, played in the North American Hockey League last year, the AJHL last year. So compared to the free agents even, he hasn't really seen that level of competition. But he's got the size that the Hawks are looking for at 6'2". And he was also invited to Canada's Program of Excellence goaltending camp, which is pretty prestigious. And so there's a lot of things to be excited about for him, but he's going to have some ways to go, I think. He's headed to Ohio State, I believe, so he should have plenty of time to develop there. And Whitney, of course, was number two, I think, on Central Scouting's rankings and still fell all the way to the seventh round. He is huge, 6'5", and he looked every bit of it, took up a ton of the net. Reminded me of Antti Niemi a little bit when he was in the butterfly, because his legs were just so long it was impossible for people to get around him. So I was more impressed with Whitney, I would say, than Tompkins. And that's probably not surprising. That was about what I expected. But Whitney's going to have something to prove next year after going so low in the draft. So I'm going to be interested to see what he does with the reins in Victoriaville.
It's kind of amazing that we took this long to talk about goaltenders. Everybody's always, you know, that's the hot topic of the Blackhawks of late. And none of these kids are going to help this year. But sort of, you know, kind of maybe there's some indicators here in camp. The two guys, specifically Matt Kruth, Ken Simpson, both signed pro contracts. I don't know that they're both actually going to be turning pro, but that's the most interesting thing to me in the goaltending was how those two guys looked, and maybe we could get a sense out of this camp who was going to be challenging for that backup spot in Rockford. Was there any clear winner in that battle?
Not to me, and I should say that I don't know what I'm watching when I'm watching goaltenders a lot of the time too. So I think it's a tough position to watch a prospect game. But I thought Simpson and Kruth were both pretty solid. I think when we touched base about them earlier, we would have said that Simpson has probably got a little bit of a lead for the backup job in Rockford behind Carter Hutton. So I think he was solid enough to kind of cement his place there. And the fact that the Hawks press release, when they were signed, mentioned Kruth being able to go back to Portland, I think that was another indicator that they're probably leaning towards having Simpson and Rockford next year.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Alec Richards is still around. So Alec Richards, you know, I mean, they're not very high on him right now, Alec Richards, but if he has a great camp, I mean, if he outplays Ken Simpson, he's going to get that backup spot. So it'd be interesting. And the point that you make is absolutely correct. When looking at goaltenders and prospect camp, it's really difficult. You know, I know a couple of years back, the best goalie in prospect camp was Cal Heater, you know, which was, you know, the big guy who went to Ohio State. Everyone's like, who's this guy? This guy's out there, these big Ohio State pads, and he's impressing everybody. But, you know, he was just a little bit older and he had a good camp. But, you know, who's Cal Heater and where is he now?
You think he actually got signed to a pro contract? That was just, the Flyers signed him.
Okay. Well, good for him.
Yeah. I think that goes for every player at prospect camp, but it's kind of hard to judge where they're at in terms of their off-season training and stuff, and goaltenders are just 10 times more difficult than anybody else.
Yeah, especially, you know, some guys, you know, well, the guys that have been to this camp a few times, you know, they know that if they made any mistakes as far as how they prepared for the camp, because it's huge. I mean, Nick Leddy will tell you, if you have a great prospect camp in front of Stan Bowman and these other guys, you know, you could be fast-tracked to the NHL. You know, I'm sure all these guys, Brandon Saad, that's why he came to camp, said, hey, I'll play some center. You know, I'm willing to do anything. And Brandon Saad also has, you know, there are people that question some of the, you know, the intangibles mentally and team-wise in Brandon Saad. For whatever reason, he has that stigma from years ago, and maybe he's coming into camp trying to, you know, win some points or something. But, yeah, it's just when you got a camp like this thrown in the middle of summer, you know, some guys are at a certain point in their off-season programs. Other guys may have had to heal injuries and got a late start on getting back in shape and getting ready for this camp. So, you know, there's a lot to be learned from a camp like this, but you also have to take some of it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, I want to talk about the defense, and I'm just going to throw these names out there, and you know, you kind of share you know some stuff from your notes. Michael Paliotta, we talked about him. Klas Dahlbeck signed a pro contract. He's going to Rockford this year, the Swedish kid. Justin Hull, Minnesota, and Sam Jardine, who I've heard a lot of great things about. How did those kids look in particular?
I would say Justin Hull and Klas Dahlbeck were maybe a cut above the rest of the defensemen. Hull for his skating, I think he is easily the best skater on the blue line all week. He accelerates really fast and is able to do it going forwards and backwards. And he's also a smart pincher and can make plays with the puck when he is chipping in offensively. Dahlbeck has got a couple years of pro experience under his belt in Sweden, but he was a pretty reliable stay-at-home blue liner. In terms of prospect camp defense, I thought he was pretty good, even though nobody really bothers to play a whole lot of defense during the scrimmages. But Dahlbeck uses his body well. He's not overly huge. He's listed at 6'3", 203. So he does have the size. He's able to protect the puck along the boards and makes the safe breakouts, and he's pretty mobile for his size. So I was impressed with him. Paliotta is another guy with good size. He's a physical guy. He's got some skills with the puck, but he didn't really seem to have much of an opportunity this week to chip in or get many shots on net. So I was pretty impressed with the way that he defended. Again, it's kind of saying that nobody pays a whole lot of attention in their own zone. But he was a guy that seemed to just get the play going in the right direction when he was on the ice. And Sam Jardine is another one who's got good frame and mobility, still got some filling out to do. And he and Justin Hull, I would say, were pushed around in front of their net as much as anybody. So I think both of them have a little ways to go in terms of batting strength, but they're both capable at both ends of the ice and have potential to be two-way players once they get to the pros.
Last year, Paliotta really, it seemed like he came to camp with an intention of showing that he was a tough customer, not dropping the gloves or anything, but just anytime anyone came near him, he was laying the wood to these guys. Was he still doing that this year?
Not that I noticed so much, and maybe I just wasn't watching him closely enough. But compared to someone like Steven Johns, who we're used to hearing rattle the boards and stuff every time he touches the ice, I didn't think Paliotta really went out of his way to be that physical. And again, maybe it's just kind of the theme of the scrimmages is that nobody's trying to sell out to get the puck or anything in their own zone.
Wrapping up the guys on defense, we talked about players that have been to a couple of these camps now. Blackhawks have four defensemen that have been to three or four of these now, thanks to them going to college. Joe Gleason, Nick Mattsson, Braden Birch, and Paul Phillips. These are guys that are veterans, 3 or 4 year veterans of prospect camp. Any of these guys stand out to you as you know, guys that we could potentially see get pro contracts whenever their amateur careers end?
I think Birch may be out of that group. Nick Mattsson just finished his freshman season, so he's still got some time to go, although he did have a good year in North Dakota. But Birch is more of a stay-at-home guy. He's got size. Not that great of a skater from what I could see, but he just played a safe game and was always in position. He was one of the finalists, I think, for the ECAC Defenseman of the Year Award. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Phillips and Gleason are nice prospects at the college ranks, but they're both pretty small. Gleason is almost entirely an offensive defenseman. He even lined up at forward, I think, over the course of his career at North Dakota. And Phillips has gotten quite a few minutes at Denver University. He's a smart player, but like I said, he just doesn't have the great size that people are looking for in professional defensemen.
Yeah, Paul Phillips is a local kid out of Darien. He's a very vocal kid on the ice.
Yeah.
A leader type of guy. He's, you know, great communicator, and kind of directing traffic out there. So yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy because there's a lot of intangibles there, but the skill doesn't seem to really. I mean, I don't see him getting a pro contract. You know, again, he's got another year, so we'll see. But if it were to be right now, I don't think he'd get one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And he was a guy this week in the drills and stuff that was kind of, you know, like you said, he's been there a few times and he knows what the coaches are looking for. So he was still very vocal and good leader on the ice. But, yeah, when he gets the puck, he just doesn't really make things happen and doesn't have a whole lot to do, a lot of tools at his disposal defensively. I mean, he's got a good stick and he knows where he's supposed to be, but just doesn't really have the size to compete with some of these forwards.
Shifting back to forwards, 2010 first rounder, Kevin Hayes. Two prospect camps before this, didn't really show me anything. You know, still a young kid, got a ways to go. Easing into a prominent role, which we expect him to have this year at Boston College. What type of camp did he have?
He was improved from the last couple of years that we've seen him. He looks a little thicker. And I thought he was using his body a lot better to shield defenders along the board and stuff because he does have pretty good size, and it was just more of a matter of him playing a finesse game before and not using it. But I thought he was better in that regard this year. He had at least three or four, I think, drives to the net, pretty strong takes, and he wasn't able to finish anything, but, you know, he's getting the puck into the crease and seems to know where to go to score goals. He was a player, definitely had his best scrimmage on a line with Brandon Saad, which shouldn't surprise anybody. But earlier in the week, he didn't stand out to me nearly as much as he did when Saad got on that line with him. So I think that's something to keep an eye on at BC, is seeing how well he can carry a line rather than what he had last year skating with Chris Kreider, I think was probably helped his stats out a little bit. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do next year.
A guy last summer at prospect camp who had an excellent camp is Joakim Nordstrom. Got a contract in the Blackhawks, going to Rockford. We expect in the fall. Was he able to replicate that camp at all? You know, this is a kid who, you know, is your typical Swedish player, and that he's both ends of the ice. You know, he knows where to be, and very smart player. Is you know, did he have another good camp?
Yeah, he met all of my expectations this year, and I think he reminds me a little bit of Marcus Kruger. I mean, that might not have the offensive skill, but like you said, he's good positionally. He knows exactly where he's supposed to be. He knows who his check is, and he knows how to get the puck from him. And so I was impressed with him. He played on the right wing all week with Dano, so maybe they're looking at those two getting some reps together at the big boys training camp. Yeah, I was impressed with Nordstrom. He seems to have grown into his body a little bit more, which you'd expect, I guess, with his pro experience overseas. But, yeah, I thought he was another guy that is still building on what he's got and definitely took another step forward this summer.
Before we wrap up, let's talk about you know, a couple of guys, and maybe there are others that impressed you, but some of the non-roster, the non-organizational invitees. I guess the first one would be Jake Chelios, Chris Chelios's kid. I believe he scored a goal. You know, defenseman, left-handed shot, so that's a little bit different than his father. But he looks exactly like his father. How did he look?
He does look a lot like his dad when he's on the ice, just kind of skating around. But once he gets the puck, I think there are some question marks. He was one of the more turnover-prone blue liners from what I could see. He just looked overmatched at times in his own zone and just wasn't really didn't have the effort, I guess, to compete for pucks behind the net or along the boards, and just seemed to get his pocket picked a lot by his forwards. So I wasn't terribly impressed with him. I thought he was invited largely based on his name. But it sounded like there were other clubs interested in giving him a chance. So maybe he'll be able to earn a contract after his last year of school.
Last guy I would have is the 6'9" Swedish defenseman, Victor Svedberg. 6'9". I mean, it's can he skate? I guess would be my question.
He was actually surprisingly mobile for his size. I mean, it was impossible to miss out there, but I thought he moved around pretty well. And he wasn't too terrible with the puck. He didn't really get much on net or anything. But I thought he made pretty smart decisions with it once he did get it. I was pretty impressed with him. But he is, again, a guy with pro experience compared to all these a lot of college players and junior players. So, you know, maybe not terribly surprising, but it was a nice invite for him.
Anybody else, names that, you know, aren't under contract or draft picks that stood out to you, any of the invitees at all?
There were a couple of the older guys I thought did pretty well. Nick McParland is a player at Lake Superior State. He's 24, so he's one of, if not the oldest guy there. But he had some offensive flair to his game. And Andrew Hammond, the goalie from Bowling Green, had probably the best stretch of any of the goalies in Thursday's scrimmage. He had 3 or 4 multi-save sequences where he was just getting left out to dry, but kept it going. He had a great glove save on a guy right on his doorstep that I don't think anybody in the stands thought he was going to have a chance of getting. So I was pretty impressed with him. So maybe those are guys after their senior season, the Hawks are going to maybe look at a pro contract for him.
All right, Brad. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your notes with us. It was fantastic. I was disappointed that I wasn't able to get out there. How were the crowds at Johnny's this time?
Insufferable in general. The stands were full, and the last couple of days they even had people ring around the glass on the home side anyway. So yeah, it was full, and it has been at Johnny's ever since the West Rink opened. I think people have been flocking out there for this week, so it's good to see people are interested in everything. It's fun week. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
No problem. And that's of course Brad. You find him at thethirdmanin.com, also hockeysfuture.com in the Blackhawks section. And do you have a Twitter or anything you want to plug? Anything else you want to plug?
No, that's about it, I think.
Yeah, stay off Twitter, Brad. It's no good. I advise against Twitter.
Duly noted.
All right, everybody. I will be back this week. I don't know what day, but we'll be back this week sometime to talk about everything else that's going on. And once I figure out everything else that's going on, I will then know what we're going to talk about. But I've been so busy lately, it's crazy. But we will, I would imagine it'll be Wednesday or Thursday, but we'll figure that out. Again, thanks for Brad for joining us, everybody for listening, and have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.
Myself a mansion and I gave it all away. It's not the world that's heavy, it's just the things that you save. And I'm drifting, drifting away. Drifting, drifting, drifting along. I rid myself of worries and my worries were gone. I only run when I want to and I sleep like a dog. I'm drifting. Cold, say there's money to be made. back there, but never for long. I sometimes wonder if they know that I'm gone. I'm drifting, drifting along. Drifting, drifting along. Oh, drifting.
Ladies and gentlemen, look at that! You can't see that. I'm on radio.